This morning, we're going to be in 1 Samuel. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel, and if you would, stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We'll be in 1 Samuel, read chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephratite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant, and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit down upon us and fall like rain upon our souls today as we come to you, Lord, seeking all that we need in you. Lord, this morning, there may be heavy hearts among us, people who are going through anxiety, stress, worry, concern, disappointment, suffering, hardships. Lord, they may be like Hannah, who is wondering, "Are you listening? Have you forgotten them?" And so, God, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak, move. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never trusted in you, placed their faith in you as Lord and Savior, that you would speak to them, God. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I do realize that there is a heavy judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 1 Samuel is a bright light in the dark of the history of the Hebrew people. It's coming out of the time of Judges. And if you know anything about the history of Israel, in the time of the Judges, you can read it in the book of Judges, the people of God would rally and get close to God and worship him, and then they would rebel, and then God would bring judgment, And then they would repent of their sin, and then God would restore them, and they would get close to God once again. And then they would forget God and dive into sin and rebel once again. Then God would send judgment, and then they would repent. God would hear their cry, restore them. They would walk once again close with God, and over it went. And the theme of the book of Judges, as it closes, is this indictment on the people of God, that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Sound familiar? And so it was a dark time. And there was those of the true worshipers of God that wondered, is God going to send a deliverer? Has God forgotten them? Will God restore to them the glories that they had? Will he make the promise to Abraham? Will he fulfill it? And the ray of hope comes from the prayers of a heavy heart from a woman named Hannah. Hannah is a special lady who was greatly used by God. In spite of or because of her infertility, Hannah was a woman of faith. In fact, Hannah is portrayed as the most pious woman in the Old Testament. Here she is shown going up to the Lord's house. No other woman in the Old Testament is mentioned doing this. In addition, Hannah is the only woman that is showed to make a vow and to follow through with that. She is noted as one who specifically prayed to the Lord. Hannah is the first person who invokes the name Lord of Hosts, which means Lord Almighty. She is a saintly woman, a godly woman. She is a woman vexed, and she is heartbroken. And she is a woman who believes that the Lord will deliver. As you read through this, as I studied this through the week, and I tried to capture some of the emotions that Hannah felt. As you read through this, you hear words and things that is brought out that kind of lets you know where Hannah's mind was and where her heart was. It's told to us twice that she has no children, that the Lord had closed her womb. Now, in the ancient Near East, when for a woman to be married, to have a husband, that was important. That was security. A woman who had no husband was vulnerable. And so a husband provided security. But children provided honor. And she had no child. The dark time when the people of God did what was right in their own eyes is evident really here in her own husband's life, Elkanah. Probably the reason why he took a second wife was because Hannah could bear him no child and he wanted an heir. And rather than just trusting that the Lord would provide, he gets the solution on his own. And so Hannah is reminded every day that she has not produced a child for her husband. And she feels forgotten. She feels like the Lord has shunned her, doesn't remember her, has overlooked her. Now, I don't know where you stand right now in your walk with God. I don't know if there's anyone here, anyone watching, that feels like God just doesn't see me. He's forgotten me. He's abandoned me. I want you to know that God doesn't abandon his people. Aren't you glad to know that? God doesn't abandon his people. There may be some who are here, those who are watching, who might say, well, why me? I'm sure Hannah would ask, why me? Why can I not have a child? There's some who ask, why did I grow up without a dad? Why did I grow up with no mom? Why am I not as attractive? Why am I not as smart? Why am I not as rich? And there's all kinds of questions that we can ask ourselves, and we can wonder, Why is my life the way it is? I look at other people's lives and it seems like everything's perfect, but my life seems to not be. It seems like God's holding something from me and that God's not blessing me like he's blessing other people. And so Hannah, her heart is heavy. Her husband, he tries to show love, right? As we read that, every year as they went to the temple to bring sacrifice to God, they would sit down, they would eat the feast. And Elkanah would divide the food, and Peninnah, he would give a portion, and to her sons and to her daughters, he would give a portion. But then to Hannah, he gave a double portion. That double portion either means double the mass of the food given or the choicest of the food. She got the best. Now, that was his way of trying to let Hannah know, I love you more than anything. Now, there are times in life when we're troubled at heart. When people have good intentions, right? To support us, to encourage us, but we're just so heavy and burdened and so vexed with anxiety and maybe depression that we can't really even recognize the grace, the other graces that God puts around us. Hannah means grace. Her husband did love her, but yet that wasn't what she was looking for. Yes, she knew he loved her, but her deepest desire was that she would bear a child. So even though her husband tried his best to show love for her, her hope and what she needed couldn't come from him. Now there's some folks, you know, that mean well when you're downhearted. They'll come beside you and encourage you and try to lift you up, and they're there and they're present, and that's great, and we should never forget those graces that God puts around us. But when someone has a heavy heart, we have to realize there are some things that we can't give them that they really need. Husbands, there are some things that only God can do in the life of your wife. That in Christ and in Christ alone is her need met. And Christ and Christ alone is when our need is met. There's sometimes when a wife can't feel the need that is burdening our heart. It has to come from God. And so Hannah doesn't disrespect her husband. She doesn't blame him for taking another wife and causing this friction. No, she just simply takes her request to the Lord. Now, Peninnah, she is the second wife. And every year she's reminded as well. Although she was able to give children to Elkanah, she still wasn't loved the way that he loved Hannah. And that made her upset. And as you read the story, we see words about her, about the way she treated Hannah. It says that she would provoke her. Now, to provoke means to stimulate to a reaction, to deliberately annoy or anger someone. Have you ever been provoked? Anyone? Have you ever tried to provoke someone? If you've been married, you've experienced both of those, right? There's been times when you've been the provoked and you've been the provokee. And she was provoking Hannah, says irritating her, trying to make her miserable, grievously, severely. Peninnah, she used the wound of Hannah to hurt her even further. There are some people that will see your pain and see your grief and see your struggle, and they will use that to make you even feel worse. Why? because she was feeling bad about herself. And so if I could make someone else feel bad about themselves in a weird, diabolical way, there are some people who, if I can make you feel bad, then it can make me feel good. It's warped, it's sick, but it's real. There are some people in your life that will bring things to your attention, that will do things to you, that will send you words or whatever it might be to provoke you, to try to pick at you and to annoy you. And it might be because they have pain and hurt in their own life, but they're trying to throw it off on you. The Bible says that our enemy, Satan, he is our adversary, and he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, provoking us, trying to stimulate us to anger, because he would love nothing more than to destroy your life. She's much like our adversary in this character. But what does Hannah do? Hannah doesn't retaliate with her either, does she? She doesn't get in a big fight with her. She doesn't cause the whole family to get in this fight. She goes to the one place that she knows she needs to go. She's so vexed, and she has so much burden on her heart. She can't eat, even though she has the best choice food. She can't eat. She's too troubled. You ever been so troubled you just couldn't eat? So worried, so stressed, so heavy that all you could do is weep. And she wept, and she goes to the temple, and she goes to the only God that she knows to go to. She goes to the Lord of hosts. She goes to the Lord Almighty, and she pours out her heart like water. Her soul begins to flow out like water into God, and she begins to pray, and she prays with such intensity that it's not a prayer of words. It is her heart that is praying. Eli looks at her, and he sees this lady whose mouth is moving, but there's no words coming out because it's coming from a broken heart, from a heavy heart, from a heart of anguish, sorrow, one saying, God, I don't know. I feel forgotten. I feel abandoned. I feel ashamed. I feel unworthy. And the only thing I know to do is to call upon you. And she begins pouring out her heart to God. Inexpressible words that cannot be said, cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Paul talks about one of the benefits of us as a believer in the positions that we have is likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been so heavy-hearted that the only thing you could do was go to the Lord and call out to him in cries and groanings, and you don't have the words, and you just say, oh God, I need you. I remember some moments in my life where I know the Holy Spirit interceded for me because I had no words to say. One of those, I shared the story a few months ago about the morning that we thought our son had died, that Caleb had died. And as I was holding him and I was in the street of our neighborhood, I couldn't have any words, and I was just crying, God, oh, and I was just so burdened that I had no words to say. But I'm glad that the Holy Spirit, he knows exactly what's in the depths of my heart. And he interceded and prayed and brought them before God in heaven, the Lord Almighty. I was in seminary, and I can remember the phone call. I was in our bedroom. And I got a call from my mother, and she said, Grant, she said, Larry, he was a friend of mine. He's one of my good friends in high school. We played basketball together. She said, Grant, she said, Larry has been in a severe accident, and they don't think he's going to live. And I remember going to my study and falling on my knees, and I had no words. And I just cried out and said, God. And I just moaned and just cried. And I know that God was interceding. The Holy Spirit was praying on my behalf. And God heard that prayer, and he spared his life. I remember when we were just starting this church, and as I was just in my office, which was in the spare bedroom, and thinking about Mount Sterling. We hadn't even gotten to the storefront yet. It was still meaning in our home, and I remember being so burdened for Montgomery County and surrounding counties and saying, God, save people here in this town, and tears for salvation being lifted up for God to do a work. We were over at Doolin Fair James one day. We were fellowshipping with a couple that helped us start the church, has now since moved back to East Kentucky. They had just had a baby. Tim and Allison Ferguson, some of you know who they are. And we were over at their house, and they had an upstairs, and their stairs were wooden. And Allison was holding the baby in her arm, and she took the first step, and she slipped. I don't know how Fair Jane grabbed that baby out of her hand, but she did. But the grace of God, as soon as she fell, all of a sudden it was like an exchange. Fair Jane had the baby in her arms, and Allison just went boom, boom. I mean, she just fell, and her head, every step, boom, and then on the hardwood floor, boom, and she was out. And all I remember doing is going, oh God! And God, he intervenes. There's times when you don't even know what to pray. Your heart is so heavy. You are so burdened. You are so overwhelmed. And don't think for a moment that a prayer of just crying out to God and letting tears roll down your face and just moaning before the Lord that God's not hearing what you're saying. Mothers, every tear you've cried for your kids, God's heard. Keep praying, mamas. We need praying mamas, amen? We need people praying, crying out, calling to God. And Hannah is pouring out her soul to the Lord. And God hears the prayer. She makes a vow. She says, God, if you will give me a son, it'll not just be for my glory, but it'll be for your glory. I will give him back to you, and he will fully serve you all the days of his life. And she committed to making a Nazarite vow. A Nazarite was one who was separated, who was set apart for the purpose and use for God. No razor would touch their hair. No wine would touch their lips. They'd be in full service to God. And Hannah says, Lord, if you give me a son, it won't be for my honor that I'm seeking or for my glory, but it'll be for you, God. He'll be yours. Aren't you glad that God doesn't forget his people? For God grants her a son. His name will be Samuel. Samuel will be a prophet. He'll be a priest. He's a Nazarite. He will live his life in full devotion to the Lord. He will be the one that will anoint first Saul to be king, and then he will herald in David. God indeed heard the cries of this lady, and not only remembered her, but remembered his people. After Malachi would give his word, and the last book of the Old Testament would be shut, there would be 400 years of silence where God spoke not a word through a prophet. Yeah, they had the temple, but the people were still longing for and looking for the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Savior who would come. They were still under Roman authority. They were longing for the deliverer who would come and free them. And the question was, have you forgotten us, God? Where are you, Lord? When are you going to move? When are you going to come? But God doesn't forget his people. And he hears their prayers. Amen. There was another couple. His name was Zechariah, and he was also in the priesthood. And he was serving at the temple when an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, announced to them, your wife, Elizabeth, who is barren, she will conceive and have a child. And his name will be John. John the Baptist. John the Baptist would be a Nazarite. He would be one that was fully consecrated, fully separated for the purpose of serving God. John the Baptist would be the one that would herald in the coming of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. It would be John the Baptist who would inaugurate Jesus at his baptism, and as he was baptized in the water, a voice from heaven would shout out, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased. God doesn't forget his people. It would be this Jesus who enters the temple and reads from the scroll of Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the captives, to set free those who are enslaved, to heal the blind, and to gather in all the brokenhearted. It would be Jesus who would come to save a people for himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, that whoever in him should not but have everlasting life. You see, God hasn't forgotten you. He hears the cries of a heavy heart that comes before him. I don't know where you are right now, if you feel lost, hopeless, afraid, discouraged, disappointed, fear, unloved, unwanted, unheard. I don't know if anyone this morning feels lonely and feels like God doesn't care, but I want you to know that the Bible is very clear that God cares for you. That's why today, if there's anyone here that's never called upon the name of the Lord, you've never entered a relationship with Jesus, you've never said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. That's why today he hears that prayer. Today, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. And the Bible tells us this, for everyone, that includes every man, every woman, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning, if you've never entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And that's what's missing in your life, that you need God. Today you can call upon his name and he can save you and give you a new hope and a new future. And for those of you who are his, but you're weary and you're tired and you're hurting and you're broken, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus,